services. It's a beautiful Lord's Day, and we're certainly thankful that you've chosen to be here this morning. We are very blessed to be able to welcome those who are our guests today. We are always thankful for you. We're grateful that you've chosen to be here this morning, and we hope that we'll treat you in a way that you'll want to come back and be with us anytime you have an opportunity. It's especially good to see David and Galena Binkley back with us today. They've been overseas, the Ukraine, for several months, and we're looking forward to hearing a report from him, not in the too distant future. And they are doing an outstanding work there, and I'm anxious to hear about their accomplishments, and I hope that if you've not welcomed them back, that you will do so when our services are dismissed. A couple of brief things I want to mention to you. Our Friends and Family Day is coming up in 2 weeks, October the 2nd. There are advertisements available for you to take in all of our foyers. I encourage you to do this. Our guest speaker on this day is going to be Clark Sims, an outstanding speaker. You'll enjoy hearing his lesson. You will want to invite people to come and be here. Of course, we'll have services at 9, 10, at 1, with lunch together at 11:30. And we just need to have an excellent number here on that special day. So I encourage you to think about who you're going to invite, who you're going to bring with you on this very special occasion. I also want to mention the Elders, Deacons, and Ministers Retreat that's coming up on October the 1st, I should say September 30th, Friday night and Saturday, October the 1st. This is vital to the work here at Del Rayda. I believe it will revolutionize our work here in this congregation. It's going to make us to be more efficient in our service to God. And it's going to, I believe, be a stimulus that, I know we don't like to hear that word today, but it's going to be a stimulus that will really cause the church here to grow even more. So if you're an elder or a deacon or a minister, I hope you'll feel this sense of obligation to go and be a part of this event. And I hate to say this again, but I want to add a third thing to this. I want to put a plug in for our lesson next Sunday. We're going to talk about why we don't have and use instrumental music in our worship. Now, is this an important issue? Is this something that we need to think about? Or is it something that is just a personal preference? We're going to investigate next week the scriptures, and we're going to see what the scriptures have to say about this crucial and important issue. So come back next Sunday and bring somebody with you. You know, prayer is a vital part of our relationship with God. Prayer improves our relationship with God because it improves our communication with God. Prayer is a great blessing. It's a great privilege for children of God. You know, the Bible talks about the importance of prayer. We sing about prayer sometimes. Take it to the Lord in prayer. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Folks, when we pray to God, we are plugging in to divine power. We face disappointments in life, don't we? Discouragements come our way. Difficult decisions have to be made in our lives. There's problems that come our way that we have to deal with, betrayal of friends perhaps, things that maybe cause our hearts to break from time to time, the loss of a loved one, difficult financial situations in our lives. Whatever the case may be, there are burdens being borne by folks here in this building that are tremendous. And yet prayer is a way that we plug in to divine power. The help that we need from God to know how to deal with the issues of life. And we need to realize when we pray to God, we have a communication line with the Creator of this universe. We can approach God anytime about anything that we're dealing with. James 5 and verse 16 is, to me, is a very powerful verse. It says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does much good." And as I've always said, I firmly believe that prayer is a way to get God to do things that He normally would not do if we didn't pray. And therefore, we're admonished, for example, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, to pray without ceasing. You know, when you look at the Bible, you think about all the great people that we read about, all the great servants of God. And I think one thing that characterized their lives was the fact that these individuals were people who prayed to God. So today, I want us to emphasize the importance of prayer. But I want us to focus today on the characteristics of acceptable prayer. I could spend all of our time today talking about the importance of prayer and the need for prayer, and I hope I've made that impression upon you this morning, how we need to pray to God daily without ceasing. We need to have a prayerful attitude. And so if prayer is so important, I think we need to be concerned about praying to God in an acceptable way. The Bible says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." How do I pray to God in an acceptable manner? May I suggest, first of all, that acceptable prayer is always offered in faith. Over in Matthew chapter 21, we know how that Jesus had walked up to that fig tree. He found no fruit on it. And of course, Jesus cursed the tree, and the tree immediately withered up. And the disciples were very curious about this situation. And Jesus answered and said to them in verse 21, "Assuredly, I say unto you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be moved and cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Here Jesus Christ used a metaphor to say that prayer is a means by which we can achieve difficult things. Things that may be somewhat impossible, we think, to achieve. Prayer is a way to achieve unbelievable things from God. You know, the Hebrew writer talked about the importance of faith in our lives. He said, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know, faith is so important in our everyday lives. But in particular, when it comes to praying to our Creator, we need to believe in Him. We need to believe that He will reward those that diligently seek Him. James said, "The one who does not pray in faith is like the wave, the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." He's wishy-washy. His faith isn't solid. James says, "Let not that man think he's going to receive anything from the Lord." I need to pray to my God, believing that he will do what he says, and that my prayers as a child of his will be heard. Let me also suggest today that our prayers not only need to be offered in faith, they need to be offered in harmony with the will of God. You know, the Bible says over in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Now, we need to understand that the will of God has been revealed to us. The will of God has been set forth in scriptures, and we need to see the importance of understanding what God's will is by studying and meditating upon that will, and we need to strive to pray in accordance to the will of God. I think about the attitude of Jesus as he was about to go through that excruciating and painful death on the cross. The Bible says when Jesus came to the place, he said to them, "Pray you that you may not enter into temptation." And when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." How many times do we pray like Jesus did here, "Your will be done"? It's not what I want. It's not what necessarily is the best thing that I see in my life at this particular time. I need to pray that God's will be done, because my life is to be lived in subservience to the will of God. James said in James 4 and verse 3, "You ask not, you ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own lust." You see, too often, rather than maybe expressing that God's will be done, we express our own selfish desires in prayer. We want what we want without taking into account what God wants and what God's will is for our lives. We need to strive to know the will of God. And when we pray in faith, knowing that God's will is going to be accomplished. And then let me suggest this as well, that a characteristic of acceptable prayer is that it is offered by those who are righteous. Now, this is so vitally important. The Bible makes it very clear in 1 Peter 3 and verse 12 that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, we need to understand that God looks upon the righteous with approval. God looks upon those who are righteous, and he acknowledges their prayers. To be righteous is to be living right. It's to be subservient and submissive to the commandments of God. James gives us an example of that in James chapter 5 and verse 16. He says, "Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." It does much good. And then James gives the example here of a righteous person praying. He says, "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it didn't rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." You know, we need to pray. And when we pray, we need to pray realizing that God hears our prayers if we are righteous. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that he will not hear. The Bible says your sins he has hidden from you that he will not hear. He turns away from those that are not righteous. I want to ask you today, if you had a loved one that was in critical condition, a son, daughter, a mother, or a father, could you go to God in prayer today, asking him to bless this individual in their condition? Could you have the confidence that God would hear that prayer because you're living a righteous life? You see, God hears the prayers of those who are righteous. And then I want to suggest today that, you know, we need to offer our prayers with persistence. We know the Bible says about that early church in Acts 2 and verse 42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. That early church was a praying people. They were involved in praying to God. They were persistent in their petitions to their Heavenly Father. One time, Henry Ford bought a $1 million insurance policy. And back in that day, that was a lot. That was an incredible amount. One of his friends who was in the insurance business approached Mr. Ford and said, "Why did you buy that insurance policy from me?" He said, "You never asked." Now, how many times do we deny ourselves tremendous blessings, tremendous strength to get through difficult times because we simply fail to ask? To ask our Father. "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." We need to consistently and persistently pray to our Heavenly Father. And then I want to suggest to you that our prayers need to be offered in the name of Jesus. Now the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, we're familiar with this passage, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And then verse 20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." I want you to notice here that our prayers are to be offered to God. We are to pray to our Heavenly Father. We are to address God in prayer. But we do that through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is our mediator. He is the one by which we have access to the Father. He is our intercessor, if you will. And so we pray to God, but we pray through Jesus Christ. And notice the proper term that talks about Jesus being our Lord and Savior. And there's several verses that emphasize this. For example, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, "Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Or 2 Peter 2 and verse 20 says, "If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." 2 Peter 3 and verse 2 talks about the apostles of our Lord and Savior. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 admonishes us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one through whom we are to approach our Father. Over in the book of Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24, the Bible says about Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost. Notice it now. Those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. You know, Jesus came to this earth. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what we experience. He knows the difficulties and trials that we face because he became a man with like passions as we have. And therefore, he's qualified to be our mediator, to intercede on our behalf. And so when we pray to God, we are to pray through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, the ability to pray to God and to receive answers in our lives, I think, is truly one of the greatest privileges and blessings that we enjoy today. I want to encourage you today to improve your prayer life. I want to encourage you today to diligently determine that you're going to pray to God more than you ever have in days past and gone. Pray for courage. Pray for the strength and the stamina to withstand the onslaughts of Satan. Pray for the desire in your heart to be conformed to the will of God, to be like Jesus in your everyday life, to give you the strength to endure the hardships that come your way, to deal with the temptations that you're continually bombarded with. Pray without ceasing. But may we determine that when we pray, that we pray as God has told us to pray, that we pray in a way that's acceptable unto Him. It may be this morning that you cannot pray acceptably to God the Father because He may not be your Father today. You may be outside the family of God, and therefore you're lost in sin. You don't have the hope of heaven. But that can change if you're willing to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ today. If you're willing to demonstrate the faith that you have in God and in His Son Jesus by changing your life in repentance, by confessing the name of Jesus that He is the Son of God, and then being baptized into Christ, born into the family of God. And in that act of baptism, your sins will be washed away as you're buried with your Lord in baptism. This morning, you may need to respond to heaven's invitation.